Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We'll record it.
And then I don't need to record anything, right? I'm good.
Might as well, just to be on the safe side. It's been a little back and forth.
Back and forth.
I don't know. Wait. No, you know what? Don't record anything. I won't record it on my. We'll just do it.
It's just for us. No one else gets this.
It's just for us. Who cares? No one else is listening. at this stage, no one else is listening.
No,
I mean, they might come back for this episode, all things considered, but for the most part, no one else is listening.
Yeah. This would be the most important episode to record.
Exactly.
It's the only one that people would listen to.
Yes, yes, yes. They will come back to us now, Bell, at the turn of the tide.
Accelerating your fandom. This is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
yes, you are. Yes,
Bloodwork
you are, Bell.
Bell. I'm evil, Bell. Maybe
No, don't be evil. Be good. Bell, this is good. We got a legit good show to talk about today.
I know. I'm talking about the villain. He turned me into a blood zombie.
Bell, let me ask this. Have you ever heard the tragedy of Darth Bloodwork the Wise?
Oh, no, it's not a story the Flash would tell you.
Oh, no. See, Bloodwork was so powerful and so wise, he could even stop people from dying. Oh, man, we got a good one. We got a good one we can talk about. But first, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Man, over the last several weeks, there's been a lot of good stuff. We've been I've put out the ye old Picard season 3. That's all out on the TV Talk feed. We got a Mandalorian TV Talk talking some stuff there. So if you're interested in some recaps of that, be sure to check that out on the feed. Also, and Bell, I don't know if you know this, I have returned to the world of Warcraft to do a little crafting, and I've started a little mini series, nothing major, just a little mini series called World of Craft on the TV Talk YouTube channel.
Is this like the most niche podcast ever, because it's about the crafting system in World of Warcraft?
Yeah, but even more so because it's about somebody who has no earthly idea how the crafting system works.
Oh, so it's not even educational. It doesn't even teach people how to use the crafting system.
That's right. This is the most infuriating. We've created the most unnecessary podcast on the internet. This is the most infuriating YouTube chant or YouTube miniseries on the internet.
That's great. Cause you know, everybody loves, you know, searching for content on the games that they're playing and finding things that don't help them do what they're trying to do. It's incredible.
Well, I tell you what, man, I am having fun with it. It's called World of Craft. If you look it up on YouTube, check out the TV Talk YouTube channel. It's a couple episodes in. It's not going to last forever. It'll probably last about 2 or 3 more episodes. But me and my little dwarven blacksmith named Giacomo are rocking and rolling trying to figure out crafting on World of Warcraft, because I don't know. I got a little free time on my hands with the crazy release schedule of this pod or this television show. So you got to fill it with something.
That's true. That's true. You know, yeah, that, we were just talking before the show about how I thought I was like three episodes behind. And then I realized, no, it's just been on a, you know, just multi-week hiatus just out of the blue. which is what you do in your last season of television after 9 years. You just, you know, you just do whatever. You just throw episodes
stumble,
out there.
Barry, stumble. Yes, exactly. But no, we're back on our feet. We're hitting the ground running again. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Why do you ask? Everything is fine. We had a great episode of The Flash to talk about. And the great thing, Bell, is that for the next couple of weeks, we will be coming at you consistently because it is pretty much a straight shot all the way from now until the finale. So, man, we got a good one to jump into. You ready to talk about it?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into The Rundown.
The Rundown.
Episode 9 of Season 9, It's My Party and I'll Die If I Want To, directed by Daniel Pennebaker and story by Sam Shelson and Emily Palizzi. Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Team Flash has a surprise birthday party for Barry with John Diggle and Wally West in attendance. While there, Wally talks about projecting his consciousness into other timelines. Ramsey Russo arrives and knocks out the guests. He makes Barry feel guilty for getting extra years to live while his friends die and explains to Wally that the timelines are alternate Earths of a reborn multiverse. He takes over Wally's mind and has him kill Barry. Barry awakens in Purgatory with Oliver Queen, whom after the crisis has lived on as the Spectre, watching over and protecting the new multiverse. Oliver helps him accept the guilt he feels and resurrects Barry while temporarily returning with him as Green Arrow. Wally opens a gateway into the multiverse, allowing Russo to spread his infection. Barry helps Wally break Russo's influence, and Keown restores Diggle, who joins the others in holding off Russo. This allows Oliver to get a clear shot into the gateway and purge the multiverse of Russo's infection, which restores everyone. Oliver depowers Russo and cures his HLH. Afterwards, Oliver explains that Keown is connected to the natural world and says goodbye to Diggle and Barry.
Okay. Well, I kind of feel like you know, you've seen the YouTube channel as a Honest Trailers.
Yes, I have.
I kind of feel like the Honest Trailer voice needs to come in and say, "Wally West is back, and he's got some stuff you should read."
Very long emails, apparently.
Very long emails. I feel like Wally West is that friend. Like, we've all had that friend who's like, you know, super chill, like cool vibe, you know, kind of like, you know, his parents got divorced. He's been through some stuff. But ever since, like, you know, they maybe went really hard on like the Jesus camp back in the day. And now he's gone off to find enlightenment and everything else. And, you know, it's cool. Like, he's a cool vibe, cool hangout with. I mean, yeah, he's not pressuring you to do shrooms, but he just always wants you to know he's down to take you on a magical shroom adventure whenever you're ready. That's just cool.
He went to Burning Man once, and now he's like the premier psychonaut of your friend group.
Chill, cool. And most importantly, you're glad when he's there. You know what I mean? Because we've missed Wally. We've wanted him to come home. Yeah, he can go out and find himself and whatnot. That's great. But, you know, we just kind of want you to come home and have a nice hot meal with the family every once in a while. That's all we want for you, Wally.
That's all we're asking for. It's not very much.
Yeah, we want you to be happy, not destroy the multiverse.
Let's not do that. That's not a good thing to do.
Not at all. Man, Wally is back. And goodness gracious, man. I miss Wally West. I know y'all got him for like a full season there on Legends for like a half minute. But like, I feel as though him being here is fantastic. It makes the show feel more flashy, but it also just makes me wish we had had far more of him over the years.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's like when we've had more speedsters on the show, when we've had like Jesse and we've had, you know, Wally and we've had Jay. It almost made me just kind of like want a Flash family show, you know,
yes.
Like, you know, like Cisco goes off and does his thing. Caitlin goes off and does his thing. We got to keep Wells. I don't know. He's just kind of fundamental, I think.
Maybe, yeah. West. You know? Absolutely. This has to happen. I mean, it's a Flash show. We want the Flashes of all kinds and of all generations here. And, look, don't get me wrong. I don't want to gripe too much about when the show hasn't been working, especially when we've got an episode that works so very well. And a critical component here is that Wally's back. But then in my most epic trailer voice guy's voice, and that's not all. Diggle is here too. And his brightest days are with his family.
Why did they say that? Why?
Cool, but not as cool as a power ring.
Oh my gosh. I was like, when we got the episodes where, you know, Diggle was like struggling with a box and we were like, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's going to, you know, oh yeah, it's going to be great. He's going to be, and nope, he closes the box. And then I was like, okay, what's going on with that? And then it's like, your brightest days are with your family. It's like, don't just rub salt in the wound.
Oh, that's salt in the wound, my friend. Yes. They want just deep in the wound. Just salt it and sprinkle it and pat it down. That's what they're after.
I audibly groaned when I heard that. I was like, it's like, why you got to do this to us? Why you got to do this to us?
It's rough. It's rough. Yeah. You know, it does feel like the whole, all right, so let's just, you know, if you're unfamiliar at this stage and yet you're still watching the show, I don't even know who you are. Please email. But the reality is that, you know, for years there were a lot of kind of like this fan campaign to make Diggle to be Jon Stewart, essentially. They wanted him to become a Green Lantern, or at least the Green Lantern of this universe. And, you know, this was totally driven by the fans. It was, you know, not driven by the creative team or anything like that. It was never like hinted at or seeded at or anything like that. But because the fans, especially of Arrow specifically, had so much success at influencing that show. And if you don't believe me, just go back and watch the Felicity seasons that was the majority of the series. And that was very much fan driven. Fan wanted the full, what do they call it? Alicity. They wanted the Alicity. The show became the Alicity Hour. Now it's completely the opposite of the Flash, where the fans have clamored asking like desperately for the Flash to be more about the Flash. And yet the creative team behind it seems to want to make it less about the Flash. So it's a complete opposite, you know, from what we got over there. But my point is, the empowered audience of Arrow felt strongly that Diggle should be the Green Lantern. Now, of course, as you know, DC is wont to do, it's a mess over there when in terms of using different characters at any given time. And then you've got, you know, various interpretations here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, I mean, we've seen what a mess it's been over the last couple of, well, goodness, decade or so. But the reality is, they never really had access to be able to turn Diggle into the Green Lantern, but they wanted to kind of give the fans, you know, the headcanon a little something. So ever since the conclusion of Arrow and every single time they brought Diggle back, it was always kind of teasing or hinting at the fact that yes, maybe, just maybe, he could be a Green Lantern. Until, you know, they finally were like, okay, look, he's not, guys, let's be real. He was never going to be a Green Lantern. Okay, we were just like, you know, giving y'all a little something, but it's not going to happen. Let's just rip this Band-Aid off 5 years later. And, you know, and then since they did that to us, what, that was last year that they ripped that Band-Aid off? Now, as you say, Bell, it literally is salt in the wound to have the commentary of your brightest days are ahead of you, ... with your family.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you're the Spectre. You can do whatever you want, you know? What would be a better protector of the multiverse than a Green Lantern? And you could make it so that his family is protected, and like, you know, he gets time with him and stuff. Maybe he's got like a little time bubble where he's like, all right, I'm gonna spend, you know, I'll go out and do my Green Lantern stuff, then I'm gonna come back to y'all, and we'll basically have the same amount of time because you're in a time bubble or I'm in a time bubble. I don't know. Just, you're the Spectre. Just make it happen.
But see, this is my point, Bell. It doesn't make sense inside this universe. That's just the fans wanting stuff. And again, we're outside of the Alicity era. The fans don't have any say into the direction of this franchise.
But I mean, like, still,
if there is one thing that has been extremely true over the last couple of years, it is the like next to no power that the fans have in this franchise.
Well, I mean, except for like all the writers and executives that listen to our show and take our ideas.
Dude, they bailed on us like years ago. they have, look, they left us a long time ago and went specifically for, and I'm not going to name any names here, but basically outlets that'll like praise, like be handed garbage and praise it as if it's manna from heaven. Like if you're that outlet, then yeah, they're going to like flock to you. They're not actually listening to the fans that have been like, who have an invested interest in this series. And like really want it to be awesome and enjoy it when it is awesome. I don't even know why we're getting off on this now.
All I want to say is it Vector and Hunter Camp were drawn into a comic book. There should have been a Bo Bell character on the CW that, I don't know, just got like obliterated by a bad guy. I don't care. But
we did,
like,
we had Grodd ringing a bell. I mean, that did happen.
I know. And I will always, until the day that I die, accept that as a nod to me. Specifically,
well, and then I was up on a commercial for the CWC back in the day. Like,
yeah,
got some stuff here and there.
Yeah, they threw us a couple, you know, bones that had no meat on them. But you know, I don't know.
We weren't shills, Bell. We weren't shills.
But like, that's the thing.
But
like,
here's the thing: the show went on. The show went down. The ratings went down, and our podcast, the ratings go down. Like, not ratings. I mean, the ratings are fine, but in terms of like our numbers, which is really what we're talking about. Like, it's, if the show isn't good, people aren't watching it. They're not watching it. They're not tuning into a podcast about it. And so what ends up happening is they end up like clamoring instead of listening to the criticism, giving the people what they want. They go to the sycophants that are out there. Man, podcast drama. I don't need to get into that. Anyway.
This is a great episode. Yeah, this is a fantastic episode. And it makes me enjoy, you know, getting on this call with you and talking about it and podcasting about it. You know,
I got excited for this one. And absolutely. Like, I'm always excited to talk to you, but I got excited to talk. Like, let me just say this one last thing, since we're in gripe mode, just so I can get it out of my system. Like, this whole plot line here, this episode, this week, with blood work and kind of layering on the guilt factor to Barry about, you know, okay, Barry, I could have like stopped death. Like, you know, like, sure, yeah, you would have lost free will, but literally nobody would die. And you can say all the, you know, nice things and about how, you know, that's not real life and yada, yada, yada. But since you put me away to this point right now, how many people have died? And the reality is, Bell, if it wasn't just Caitlin variants, that might have actually meant something. And I kind of wish they had. No, I'm serious. I wish they had been killing people left and right over the last couple of weeks or last couple of episodes. And I don't mean just various versions of Caitlin that we pull out of thin air, but like, you know, why not? Why not knock off somebody like, oh, you know what? I'll even start with the top. One of our favorites, kill Joe. Okay. I love Joe, but had they killed Joe, man, how much more powerful would that message have been to Barry right there?
Like, especially given, you know, his decision to, you know, leave the show or whatever, based around like, I'm going to go spend time with my daughter out of the thing. And like had that decision come back to haunt him, and that's what resulted in his death or something like that. Yeah. Way more impact, you know?
Well, and think about it this way. If they had done that, even in the beginning of the season or mid season at that moment, like, you know, not, you know, like, we don't know what the finale is going to be about, but chances are we're going to have a lot of timeline resetting situations. So suffice to say, you could still end the season with, say, Barry making a sacrifice to bring some of these folks back and kind of almost following an arrow in Oliver's footsteps from that standpoint.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, even the big swings you could have taken, you could have theoretically undid by the end of it. Kill Chilblain. Nobody liked him anyway. Like, oh, kill
Chilblain, kill discount or what's
talk about Jocko, like, Blocko?
Yeah. Kill Kmart, yeah, kill Kmart Jack Black, you know?
Yeah. Goldface, fine. He's toast.
No,
why not?
Not
even Justin Bell, like some main characters. Like, you know, I love Chester. Chester's great. But Chester, but take out Chester, or better yet. And again, I love Allegra. Don't take this the wrong way. But if you were to take out somebody like Allegra, who represents a young up and coming superhero, a protege to Barry. So you take out, you know, his head, his master, so to speak, right? Like his Obi-Wan Kenobi that has been Joe. You take out his Anakin or his Luke Skywalker, which is somebody like a Chester or somebody like an Allegra. And you know, you take out Chilblain just because why not? He's just there, and I might as well take him out. And then you take out some of these discount, you know, rogues, and you've got laundry list of people that are going to have a significant emotional impact to Barry, as opposed to just another Caitlin variant.
Yeah, like you know, people that he gained their trust and he asked them to help him. And as a result of that, they died. Like, way more of an emotional impact on Barry, where it's like, you know, it's not just like random people killing these guys. It's like Barry has come to these rogues and asked for their help, and some of them died because of it. Or like, you know, Joe, you know, wanting to step away from the superhero life to be more with his family, dies because of it. You know, like these kinds of things. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. And I mean, like, how forced was that storyline anyway? Like, that whole thing with him and Cecile.
Yeah. Like, I think, and that's not like, you know, if you're going to sit here and like give a bunch of time to not flash characters, you know, have Joe's decision have an impact on Cecile. We're like, maybe, oh, you exactly. know, yeah, she's yeah. not there. And then Joe dies. And then so like, you know, like that, I just feel like, you know.
And I mean, like, okay, see, we should be writing the show. This is why they don't listen to us anymore, because they know that we take their jobs. But anyway, that was the last little gripey thing I had, because I loved this argument that Bloodwork had. I liked the way he was able to like leech in to, you know, to Wally's trauma and kind of sell him on this like vision of a world. You know, I mean, like it's the Darth Plagueis, it's the Palpatine and Anakin, right? Like I he could even stop the world from dying. Like the loved ones, like the pain that we've experienced could be within our control. And so he corrupts him and, you know, with the nine said that, of course, his blood is in his system and everything. And in the process, you know, like does the same, tries to get through to Barry. I mean, this is a fantastic way to have a character who frankly doesn't, you know, on paper look like would be a threat to the entire multiverse and do exactly that. I thought it was a fantastically written plot line for this episode. Like I said, I feel like it would have had more impact had we set like. This is such a linchpin of this season. You know what I mean? Yeah, like this is the pinnacle moment of this season thus far. Everything that we have gotten, almost everything that we've gotten this season has been pretty much terrible. just being totally honest, it's been pretty much terrible compared to this right here. This is the good stuff. This is the creme de la creme. This is the pure Arrowverse-y goodness. We even got Arrow, who's come back.
We even got Arrow.
I think.
He's come back to us now at the turn of the tide.
Man,
look to the east, look into the specter. like it was, you know, and I love Sentil Ramamurthy, the guy who plays Bloodwork. Like, I love him. He does fantastic. Great work. It was great to see him back. And yeah, like, you know, at first you're sitting there thinking like, you know, how is this guy like, yeah, sure, he can threaten the Earth with his virus and stuff. But like, how is he going to like be a multiversal threat? And he was, and it was convincing, right? Like,
yes,
you know,
yes, very much so.
Yeah, it wasn't just this like, you know, it wasn't like they're like, I'm gonna make Chilblain destroy the multiverse. He's like, no, you're not. Yeah, right. He's like, I'm gonna scour the multiverse until I find my Frost and I'll destroy any world where she's dead and blah blah, you know. No, but like they made it work so well with Bloodwork and Wally. And yeah, like it this episode is just like a return to form, I think, for the Flash. And it was so good, it's so refreshing. You know, we had the last two episodes, you know, one of them was okay. And then the other was just, and then to have this like just complete and total return to form was wonderful. And it was, you know, I can't overstate how welcome it was, right?
Yes.
Over the last couple episodes that we've had.
Like, it's nice to have a brief reminder about what this show used to be, like what it was in its heyday.
Yes.
And because like next week and really for the next 4 weeks, for the next month, we're going to be in finale mode. We are essentially going to be experiencing the finale of The Flash in four parts. And so for this to be kind of that one last final episode before we really dive in, I think it was such a gift. Perfect time to bring Oliver back. And I think the way they did it was outstanding, really kind of explained a lot. It gave us a little bit more of context about how the multiverse post-crisis was set up. Also about kind of what Oliver's relationship is to the multiverse, some of the decisions that were made around Earth Prime. And then also the fact that, yes, in fact, the multiverse does still exist. This was kind of up in question. Now, we as an audience knew this because obviously we've seen a whole lot of other properties out there.
Yeah.
And so the multiverse is definitely alive and well. So it's nice to have this Earth aware of that. Now they of course call it Earth Prime, and perhaps until the next crisis this will continue to be Earth Prime, but regardless, I thought that was great. Loved the Oliver and Barry relationship, kind of a return to that bromance between the two. You know, Barry's little comment about, like, you know, you missed me. And then Oliver going up to his bow, and he's like, not as much as I missed this. That was great.
Yes. Yes. And I there's so many, like, cool things in this episode. Like, I love Bloodwork's little dream thing where they're, like, on the set of The Flash.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
that was great. Gosh, yeah, like, you know, it was such a return to form, and it really invigorated me for watching the last, you know, several episodes of the series, because, like, you know, it's been pretty hit or miss this season. I don't want to venture as far as to say mostly miss, but yeah, this was like, this is what The Flash was, this is what The Flash should be, and it makes me excited that this was the episode that they used to lead into the end of the series, you know, because this is like a 9 seasons, man. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a triumph in its longevity, if not always in its quality, but it's impressive for sure.
I have to say, though, that, like, if they maintain at least the quality of this episode for those last four, the end of the season is going to be great.
I hope so, man. I thought it was done very well. All of these characters, it has to be acknowledged. We had a great moment between Diggle and Oliver. Oliver's comment about, you know, it's a long story, and Diggle just, like, I don't even care, and gives him a big hug. That's just beautiful. The Diggle, Ollie, Wally, Barry, kind of like side by side team up team, like classic Team Arrow, classic Team Flash, yeah, to an extent. I mean, you. Arguably, you know, it's Caitlin and Vibe are kind of the quote unquote classic team Flash. And then obviously Felicity would be there, would be classic. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's the hero sidekick dynamic. And it works really well in this. Of course, the classic line of, you have failed this city.
Yeah.
Kind of wanted to say you failed this multiverse, but you know what? I get it. It's fine.
Yeah, I was expecting something, not you have failed the city, but, like, yeah, you have failed this earth, or you have failed this multiverse, or something like that. But hey, you know, it's his classic line. He's got to say the classic line.
He's got to say the line. No, he's got to say,
like,
it.
Yeah, it's the meme of, like, you know, everybody in the classroom pointing at Bart and telling him to say the thing, and he's like, you failed this city, and then, like, yeah.
I know. I mean, even Bloodwork was like, oh, he said the, oh. Yeah,
he said the, oh, crap, I'm cured now.
yeah
but I mean, like that's also an interesting thing too, is that, like, you know, not only did he wipe out, you know, Bloodwork's infection all across the multiverse, he cured him of his HLH. like, that's a pretty nice thing to do.
That was very kind. And, you know, that's the thing, we did get a revelation, or at least a little bit of explanation about his powers and how they work in his post Spectre form. We do know that he can see everything, but Belle, I have to wonder, can he see why kids love the taste of Cinnamon Toast Crunch? I'm sorry. When Barry asked him the question, like, you can see everything, right? And he goes, yeah. And then, like, immediately I said, but can he see why kids love the taste of Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I don't know. Does that impact the multiverse? Because if it doesn't, maybe he can't see it.
Oliver is just, like, basically he's chilling out in purgatory with, like, a big screen TV, just watching all the shows, the good ones, the boring ones, the bad ones, Teen Titans Go. He's seen all the new upcoming movies and everything, which, by the way, when Barry asked, you know, about more Flashes, Oliver's like, yeah. Yeah. He's like, let's just say, you know, there's more than enough. And I was like, more than enough. Does that mean we have one too many? Oliver, make a little commentary there.
Well, what? I mean, he did say that Barry was the most, he was kind of like, you know, the Rickest Rick and the Mortiest Morty. He's the flashiest Flash.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I did have to wonder if that meant Oliver had seen the upcoming Flash movie.
I've heard some chatter on the Twitters about it, and apparently it's entertaining.
This is what they say. Apparently it's going to be the best movie I've never seen, but it's rough. I don't know if you've seen the clips. There's that one where Ezra Miller's Flash, he's like standing in the middle of the street, and he's got one leg up in the air and one leg on the ground. And this group of girls is right there, and they're screaming. They're like, "Oh, Flash!" And then he just goes up and he chokes her right out. It's really, no, I'm sorry. That was a different video than I'm thinking.
That was a different video. Yeah. No, but actually,
Belle, if this goes pretty well, I hear they're going to cast Ezra Miller as the new Kang the Conqueror. Anyway, all right. Ooh. So we're going to dive right into some great speculation.
Man, could you imagine building your entire Phase 5 on one guy playing multiple versions of the same character, then have that happen?
Yes.
I mean, granted,
yes,
I don't
that's
feel...
literally what DC is doing with Ezra Miller.
No. What's his face? James Gunn. Like they were. I saw an interview with him, and they were asking, so is Ezra Miller going to be, you know, fundamental in your new vision of the DC? And he kind of beat around the question, saying something like, well, you know, we'll have to see what happens and blah blah blah. Basically, it was BS speak for if the movie does well in the box office. Yes, if they make money, he will. If they don't, he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. It comes. I mean, I guarantee to some extent that's where. Oh shoot, Majors. That's where Majors is post Loki 2. Like they're going to see what happens with Loki 2. And also, I think if they can Ezra, then Majors is probably gone. If they don't, they can't. They better not take Majors out. Like there's like this.
If Marvel doesn't drop Majors, then like you can't sit there and put profit above people's lives.
But Ezra Miller. This is my point. I've been saying this for years.
Yes, They should have.
This is my point. Anyway,
they should have done it a long time ago. They shouldn't have released the movie. They should have reshot it.
But they didn't.
Marvel still has yet to make any sort of official statements on Majors.
Well, I think they're waiting to see what legally happens, because that's the other thing too. Like, there has not necessarily been anything legal, and I think that plays into the decision making.
Yeah, which I mean, you know, that's okay. They can do their due diligence.
But there has been legal stuff said about Ezra Miller.
Like the guy has like how many restraining orders? Like he can't even set foot in Hawaii without being executed.
Like anyway, all right, Mel. We do have some speculation to get into.
Yes, here. Yes.
Let's let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Yeah, you know who it is.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow. Hold on.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man, Speedster Speculation. The four-part finale is right ahead of us as of next week, called A New World Parts 1, 2, 3. And though it has not been announced, I imagine the final episode will be called Part 4. They might give it something else, maybe Run, Barry, Run, or maybe like, I don't know, stop running for like for like a second, Barry. I don't know. Finish, Barry, finish. I don't know. Probably not that.
No. Stop, Barry, stop. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It'll be stop, Barry, stop. Run, Barry, run, and then stop, Barry, stop.
That's great. It does appear, though, based off of, have you seen any of the previews or anything like that?
I'm avoiding them. I was kind of mad at myself for, I inadvertently saw a bunch of set photos because, you know, for like Oliver's return and Diggle and all that kind of stuff for this episode. And I was kind of mad that I did, because I would have liked to have gone into that and not know that Oliver was coming back. Because I don't know, like some of the, like you, when you see the set photos and you know he's coming back, it kind of like there's always that like sort of magic sort of thing where, you know, when you don't know spoilers, and I think those set photos are a pretty big spoiler for that episode. But so I'm trying to avoid as best I can any sort of episode summaries or like, you know, set photo kind of things for these last four, because I really want to go into it and I really want to have just like no preconceived notions of what's going to happen. Just so I can, you know, relive some of that beginning Flash season sort of like awe kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. I think, okay, so there's a lot of, you know, gosh, all right, I don't want to get spoilery here, but I think based on the like public previews that we've gotten thus far, like, you know, the trailers and whatnot, we can at least commentate on this. Like, it is safe to say a return to the past to, like, you know, the origin story of the Flash is highly likely.
So the Flash is going to become the lightning bolt. He's going to strike himself.
No, I don't think that's going to happen based off of interviews that Grant has done. Grant has said specifically that that was an idea that the fans had really liked, and he read it and he wished that they had done that because he thought it was really cool. And it's like, I was like, yeah, thank you, Grant. That it would have been really cool. We were hoping for that. In fact, many of us were actually just believing that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think he's going to become the lightning bolt. I think,
you know,
it's very
happen. You know what's going to happen?
No. Oh no, Bell.
His Barry's going to go back in time and he's going to talk to his past self. And he's like, you know what? If I was that lightning bolt, I would have chosen you.
It would have been my choice, but it's not.
Just
no,
like,
but
just
here's
like...
what I think. I think what we're going to get is, you know, there was always this question of, will the series end with like our Barry becoming the Barry that we saw at the beginning of the series, the future Barry that saves young Barry? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So here's what I'm assuming is going to happen, because, well, all right. If they take into consideration what we've seen on this show before, which they haven't always done that, but if they do, that whole scenario has kind of been wiped a little bit in Flashpoint. And so that Barry, for all intents and purposes, quote unquote, no longer exists, or at the very least, we're not on the trajectory where our Barry would be that Barry. Now, that being said, you can make the argument that Crisis puts a bit of a reset on all of that, which means that our Barry could very easily be that Barry. Here's my argument. Here's my speculation. I think what we're going to see is our Barry becoming that Barry for a new Barry.
Okay, so he's not saving the same Barry that we saw in season one. He's saving another Barry as a result of the Crisis in the new multiverse. Because, you know, Flashpoint happened, Crisis happened, all that kind of stuff. So he's going back in time to save another version of that Barry from season one.
That's right.
Okay, interesting. I like it.
Like, it's going to set the cycle in motion again, but rather than it being like a complete loop, it sets it up for someone else. It's almost like a chain as opposed to a cycle.
Right. And so, like, you know, theoretically, if we were to start the Flash over, it wouldn't be the same. We wouldn't have the same events happen that we've had all through seasons one through nine. It would be a completely different, you know,
yes,
young Barry Allen, which results, yes, in a completely different, yeah, like, yes, future episodes and stuff. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
That's exactly right. I think that is where that's my assumption. It's the closest thing, if you will, to Barry becoming the lightning that we're going to get in this series. And just given what, you know, kind of a bit of, you know, like, I don't know, like that whole theory, that whole idea became eradicated with Flashpoint. Again, that's if the current showrunners take into account what came before their tenure, which again, they haven't always done that. So it's very possible they may set things up so that our Barry does become the Barry from the pilot, which, and I've done the research here, makes no sense, but they could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be really neat. Like, you know, it's not, you know, I mean, I don't know though, like the circular nature of it would be interesting because like you could theoretically just like watch seasons 1 through 9 over and over and over again in a loop. And, you know, you would never end the story because it would always.
Yeah, no, if the story was tight like that, absolutely. And I think if they had gone in with like a 5-year plan or even like, yeah, no, like a 5-year plan, they could have done something like that. They clearly didn't and didn't want to. And on top of that, things just changed. Like they did some pretty radical stuff. You think about what Flashpoint was. Many of us were hoping for a Flashpoint that would last at least half a season, if not longer. And what we got was a Flashpoint that lasted about half an episode. That was rough. It was rough because the fans had wanted more. They had hyped it more. They were used like they were playing around with some pretty big concepts and writing some pretty big checks when they had no cash in the bank to do anything with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then because like there was such this desire, eventually we got a crisis, which was beautiful. But even then, like at that point, so much had changed in the multiverse and in the universe and everything else. And Crisis was fantastic, but everything post Crisis has just been, you know, it's like they don't really have a good, they never really quite had a good idea of how the timeline even worked post Crisis.
Yeah. Well, that's because like, they didn't have us whiteboard it for them.
Like that, you know, we had so many whiteboards back in the day.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They should have called us up. We'd have flown out there to Vancouver or wherever they're writing it, and we'd have just whiteboarded it out for them. No. You see, like, you know, he'd be like, you know, this whole thing, and they're sitting there asking questions, and you're up there with your post-it notes and your timeline lines and all this kind of stuff. And they had this opportunity. We were there. You know, we were available. But hey, you know, sometimes they just, you know, sometimes people just don't make the right choice.
No, that's right. That's true. But you know what? This episode was the right choice, man. I think that we got a lot of good stuff out of it. Any kind of speculation that you have for the finale?
Well, again, I mean, like, I'm kind of avoiding, like, I hadn't even watched the official release preview, you know, kind of stuff, because I want to go into it 100%, like, not knowing what to expect, because this episode blew me away. I really enjoyed it. And I want to kind of like, you know, I even knew some of the things going in. Like I knew Bloodwork was coming back. I knew Arrow was coming back, and it was still really good. But I think it would have just been that much more incredible to not know those things beforehand. And so it's just been hard. Like this is the last four episodes of the last season. And so I really want to kind of go into it with that same sort of, you know, enthusiasm and unknowingness as we did in the first episodes of the first season. Right. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just been trying my hardest to sort of avoid any kind of spoiler for it. And so it's really hard to speculate on anything. I like what you're saying. And I think some kind of like, you know, the circle is now complete kind of, you know, thing would be really neat and would be really poetic, right, for the show. So I don't know. I'm just, you know, if this is the jumping off point, this episode is the jumping off point for the last four, then I'm really excited for what they have planned. I don't want to get negative, right? But I'm just, you know, they have this brand new powered up Keown and all this kind of stuff. And like, I want this to be a Flash. I want the Flash to be the focus of these last four episodes. And, you know, you can have some side characters and stuff like that. And like Oliver talking about how Keown is like, you know, connected to the natural world.
I don't know.
And I wish they had just given Caitlin a send off. And, you know, now she, like, they gave Frost a send off. They didn't, Caitlin just kind of killed herself trying to resurrect Frost. And now we have Keown. And that's a brand new character in the last season that's either
nobody
going to,
wanted, nobody asked for.
Yeah,
another Caitlin variant. That's what we need. Really?
Yeah.
Who's writing this? Like, who is writing this?
Like, I love Danielle Panabaker, right? Like, you know, she directed this episode, didn't she?
Oh, she did a fantastic job.
Yeah, she did a wonderful job, an excellent job. And like, you know, I love her as Frost and as Caitlin. But like,
I loved her as Caitlin. I would have liked to see her as Caitlin becoming Frost, but we didn't get that. And I got used to what we got. And then they just threw it all out and said, like, here's a.
Yeah. And so like that kind of stuff worries me, right?
You know,
like,
you know how we used to do a Caitlin Frost or not in this episode or whatever?
Yeah.
Or also, that's what it was. Caitlin Frost also in this episode.
Yeah.
What we need to do, Keown, still not dead.
Yeah. Keown, also in this episode. But like, I don't know. So like, those are the things, because like they have this character and you know, I know Keown has fans. Like, I know she's got fans. And you know, for me, the show is The Flash, and I want the last four episodes to be on The Flash, and that includes Iris for all of you Iris haters out there.
We are Iris lovers here. We are pro Iris.
Absolutely, absolutely. So these last four episodes need to be Barry and Iris focused. They need to be Flash focused. You know, she's his lightning rod. She always has been. And, you know, that's a thing that's been in the comics for all of you doubters and stuff. But like, yeah, you know, it's having Keown be mentioned by the Spectre at the end. And it's like, can we focus on the Flash, please? And
I mean, like, you know, we also got Allegra. Doesn't she have, she's got like a name, right? A superhero name.
Disguise device that Chester made's broken now. Of course, I guess I can make a new one.
Well, no, like, I did like the fact that they addressed that Allegra doesn't have a costume. I'm like, Chester, while you're at this, can we get something for Cecile? Because Cecile's apparently Superwoman and she got nothing. She's got no name. She's got no mask. And y'all like, remember, there was a whole episode about Team Cecile. And it's like, why, you know, while you're making Allegra a costume, if you're just handing out costumes, I kind of feel like everybody should get one.
No, Cecile's superhero name is Cecile, and no one has put together that also, you know, a metahuman defense attorney happens to be going around the town the same name as a superhero. It's really weird. I don't know what's going on with that. She just wipes your mind. That's the thing. Anytime she comes in contact with anybody, she just wipes their mind. That's what it is.
Belle, she is not Cecile. We are Cecile.
We are Cecile. yes.
Anyway, but, yeah. So I hear you. But I think they will. I do think that over the next couple of episodes, I think it'd be pretty cool if like each episode, like for whatever reason, Barry had to like keep going back in time and resetting the timeline, and like one episode takes place in a world controlled by freaking
Goldface.
No, not Goldface. Wow. No. By evil, the god of speed, Savitar. By Savitar.
Oh, yeah.
And then like what, and then he fixes that, but then he goes back and then it's controlled by Zoom. And then he fixes that and then he goes back and it's controlled by Eobard. So basically you're working your way back through the potential realities where Barry lost in season 3, or Barry lost in season 2, or Barry lost in season 1. You know what I mean? Like have kind of this way of like seeing kind of a what if scenario for the greatest hits of The Flash, while also revisiting some of the greatest villains that this show has had.
Yeah. And like, you know, Dark Flash, right? Like the timeline that was, you know, in the comics where I think it was Iris died and he like was like, I'm not going to be. I'm just gonna kill people and stuff.
Well, that was Savitar in this reality.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That was kind of like a mix of they took the Savitar from the comics and Dark Flash from the comics and sort of like merged them together.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, I think that'd be cool. But like again, I don't really have speculation for the last four episodes, but I do have concerns. And judging on this last episode, hopefully those concerns are unfounded and we have an excellent tail end of this last season.
I think so, man. I'm going in hopeful. This episode certainly got my hopes high, and you know, I'm ready to get hurt again. Let's go. I think it's going to be great. But hey, we want to hear your thoughts. Head over to tvtalk.fm. You can write us a review for this podcast. You can also head over to twitter.com/tvtalkfm to let us know your thoughts. Use the hashtag #FlashTVTalk. Don't forget, on this podcast feed, we had some Picard TV Talk. We got some Mandalorian TV Talk. We'll have some other great TV Talk headed your way in the future. The TV Talk YouTube channel, I've been having some fun over there with a extremely niche within a niche within a frustrating niche YouTube series called World of Craft. So if you are as nerdy as I am, then by all means, check that out. Again, that's the TV Talk YouTube channel. Bell, you can follow Bell at Ring That Bell. And yeah, you know what? You can follow me on, I'm on Instagram at Incognito. So there you go. You can follow me there. That is going to do it for us for today. But for me, for Bell, for Bell's mom.
Hi, mom. That's the wrong outro.
We'll be back in a flash.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.